Thank you. Fire, that was just absolutely beautiful. I get my microphone on here. Thank you so much, Dr. Jennifer Wyatt, for leading us in our prayer and liturgy this morning. Thank you, praise team. But today, we are concluding the series of sermons that we started just 4 weeks ago. And you may remember it's called One Another. So why don't you look at your neighbor and say, One Another. You may remember that this term, One Another, comes from the lips of Jesus. It's reported in the Gospels. It's all over the letters of Paul, where the Christian life is virtually outlined in terms of a whole slew of one another's. And you may also remember that one of the ideas of this sermon series on one another is that life is not a do-it-yourself project. It's not something that you go alone, or at least we hope it's not something that you go it alone, but rather as one another, life is a do-it-together project where we have said that we are called to love one another, that we're called to encourage one another. Then last week we talked about bearing up one another's burdens, and today we turn to another critical life realizing one another, and it is what Paul called for in Galatians 5 when he called the church at Galatia to serve one another through humility and love. And so we're going to be talking about serving one another for just a few minutes before Holy Communion. But before we get to that, I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me and to Laurie this week. As you may know, Laurie imports antiques from France and England, and she often participates in antique shows around the country. And this past week, we have been in Birmingham, Alabama. Yes, Alabama fans, kudos to you. We've been in Birmingham, Alabama at the Antique and Garden Show of Birmingham in Mountain Brook, Alabama, which is just outside of Birmingham. Botanical garden setting, and the antique show is wonderful and amazing. And one show this year in Birmingham was the fact that Martha Stewart was the keynote speaker. So say hello to Martha. There she is. Martha Stewart was the keynote speaker. She was giving different messages at different times. And she also visited the antique show. And so Thursday night, we had a black tie event. I had to rent a tuxedo from the men's warehouse for the black tie event. And so I'm in my tuxedo, and Laurie has already arrived, and she's in her antique booth, and I come into the building where the antique setup is happening, and lo and behold, there is Martha Stewart right there in front of me. And I'm thinking, wow, that's amazing. And so I kind of make my way around Martha Stewart. She's talking with people, and I go into Laurie's booth, which is just around the corner. I say, I just saw Martha Stewart. And Laurie says, no, that couldn't have been Martha Stewart. I say, what are you talking about? I just saw Martha. No, that couldn't have been Martha Stewart. It says on the schedule that she's going to come through tomorrow morning when she's doing speaking. She's probably not even here right now. I said, I just saw Martha Stewart. Laurie reminded me that I often, and this does happen, and it's not Dan West. It's like somebody completely different, you know? It's Larry. It's like somebody completely different, you know? It's Larry Peterson. I thought it was Dan West. Anyway, I do have that problem. Just about the time of that conversation, around the corner walked, yeah, Martha Stewart. Yes, it was her. And I was right. And Lori kind of lit up. And then she didn't just stop there. She came into Laurie's booth at the antique show with Kevin Sharkey, her CEO, who is a notable person as well. And they were sitting with Martha in Laurie's booth. And Laurie was interacting with Martha Stewart about these
French iron roof pediments that she was looking at. And then she was looking at other things. And Kevin Sharkey started to pick up a couple things, and he bought a few smalls. And then Martha Stewart came over towards me, where, yeah, I know, it's incredible. And where we're hanging, now it's hard to visualize this, these French, like 1890 conveyor buckets. They were metal conveyor buckets. There were like five of them, and they're linked together by metal, and that you can put them on a conveyor belt. And Martha Stewart fell in love with the French conveyor buckets, and she... But I did tell her the price. But I did tell her the price, which was $595, and she said, I'm gonna buy those buckets. And that's amazing. So Martha Stewart, like the queen of decorating and cooking, bought these conveyor buckets from Lori. Is that not amazing? And it doesn't stop there. The show staff said she spent the most time of any of the booths in your booth. She was most complimentary of your booth. And it was just an amazing, amazing, unforgettable thing. And you've got to be asking yourself, why is he talking to us about Martha Stewart? Well, I'm talking to you about Martha Stewart because for Lori, for me, that was an unforgettable moment. And there are just some moments in life that are unforgettable, that make such an impression upon you that you just don't leave them very soon. There's something you celebrate, there's something you ponder, there's something you talk about, because, well, today we come to a story in the Bible that, well, today we come to a story in the Bible that is perhaps one of the most unforgettable stories in all of the Bible. And it comes from John chapter 13, which you may know as the time when Jesus demonstrated to the disciples what it looks like to serve one another through humility and love. It was the time when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And so John sets up this passage. He gives us an idea of what time it is and of what's happening. He says in the opening lines of the passage, he says, it was just before the Passover festival. So it was the time when thousands upon thousands of Jewish people descended upon Jerusalem, and they celebrated this amazing memory of their salvation, the time when Moses led God's people out of Egypt and the Red Sea and all of those events. It was the time of that Passover festival. And we read that Jesus knew that the hour had come for, so that's to leave the world, full of John, that Jesus knew this language that we encounter in the Gospel of John, that Jesus knew this hour, this moment of trial, this time of departure had come. And then he makes this amazing statement. Well, actually, first of all, it also says the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. But before all of that happened, John makes this amazing statement of grace. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he did what? He loved them to the very end. And so it's kind of like the project that Jesus started with the disciples when he first called them. It's like he's fulfilling his commitment to them. He's finishing what he started. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. And it's really interesting because it's all about their feet. It's all about their feet. I did a little research on the foot because it's all about their feet. And I just find it interesting that feet are defined as flexible structures of bones, joints, muscles, and soft tissue that enable us to stand upright, that enable us to jump and walk and run. That feet, did you know this, are divided into three different sections. You have three different sections of feet. You have the forefoot, which includes the five toes. You have the midfoot, which includes a pyramid of bones. And you may have the hindfoot, which forms the heel and the ankle. So there are three different sections to the human foot. But then if you read on, you discover that the foot and that the feet are subject to a number of very unpleasant conditions, right? They are subject to the plantar wart. They are subject to fungal infections. They are subject to ingrown toenails and osteo, subject to ingrown toenails and osteoarthritis. They are subject to bunions and gout. All right, are you getting the picture here? They are subject to an incredible negative odor. These feet that we walk on are subject to all of these conditions. And by now, you've got to be asking yourself, why am I talking about feet? Do we really need a lesson on the anatomy of feet? Why would I be talking about this? Well, I'm talking about this because in this passage, Jesus draws a connection between the full expression of his love and our feet. That's why I'm talking about it. It's almost as though Jesus is saying that in some ways, our feet are more than just feet. I mean, they are not just physical structures that enable us to stand upright and run and walk and jump. That in some ways, our feet by themselves reflect the totality of the human condition. It's like Jesus is saying, on one hand, they remind us that we are created in the image of God, but on the other hand, in some instances, they are so repulsive because they remind us that we are sinful and broken and that we all stand in need of God's divine grace. So I'm talking about feet because Jesus drew this connection between the full expression of his love for us from the viewpoint of our feet. But the story continues. So we read that he gets up from the meal. And he starts to do something that is absolutely shocking to the disciples. He starts to gather together the water basin that was in the outer room, and he brings it full of water, and he picks up what's happening. And pretty soon, the disciples are sitting there, and they're wondering what's happening, because you know the real custom. You know that normally this would have already happened. You know normally when they walked in the door of a house back in that day that there was a servant there. It was a very lowly job. I mean, surely you know this, that the servant was there. And instead of saying, hey, can I take your coat or can I put your things away? He said, hey, would you like for me to wash your feet? Because in the ancient world, they walked around in these sandals, and those sandals were harsh and their feet were calloused. And they walked through, you know, all kinds of different substances during the day, and so it was the custom of the day that when you walked into somebody's house, you sat down on a bench, and there was a servant there who took a water basin and a towel, and here he washed your feet, and that was part of the process. And maybe that night Jesus was expecting that maybe one of the disciples would have picked up on the whole Christian servant thing. And maybe he was thinking that, hey, somebody will do this. And they all go in there. They're sitting around the triclinium, the type of table they would have been sitting around, and nobody had washed anybody's feet. And so Jesus said, aha, here's the moment that will be unforgettable, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, will get down on his knees and begin to wash the disciples. And it was unforgettable. And that is exactly what Jesus did. And it was unforgettable. It was remarkable. It was unexpected. And Peter, when it came to Peter, Peter's like, no way, man. I mean, I would have been right there with Peter, right? Like, no way. You are not going to wash my feet. I mean, that is a lowly servant's job. That is not your job. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Son of the living God. Peter had already said that. He knew who he was. You are not going to bend down on your knees and wash my feet. But Jesus is like, Peter, you're missing it. Because I'm not just going to wash the dirt off your feet. There's more to this than that. Peter, it's like a symbol that I'm washing the dirt off your soul. Peter, I'm addressing your humanity. I'm cleansing you, not just on the outside. And Peter, we got to do this. Because apart from me, it's so difficult for Peter, and it would be for me. I mean, I don't know how many of you have been a part of a foot washing service. Have you ever been a part of a foot washing service? Something we've done at camp for years, but I think you know that there's two parts to it. It's like one part is, yeah, they're just washing your feet, getting the dirt off your feet, but it just seems like that it's so much more than just that, that there's a sense in which something else very spiritual, something supernatural is happening in that moment when you're experiencing foot washing, that there's something so much more. And I think Jesus was trying to say to Peter, it's not just your physical feet that I want to wash. I want to wash your soul. I want to wash your spirit. Peter, I want to wash you. And so the foot washing concludes, and this is really interesting. There is no account that says Jesus did not wash the feet. A account that I could find that said, single disciple. There is no account that I could find that said, oh, when he got to Judas, he's like, no, not you, Judas. You're a betrayer. You're going to turn me over to the authorities. You're going to be the link that gets me crucified. There's none of that anywhere. No, there's just a sheer expression of God's love to every single disciple. But here's the thing. I don't really think that Jesus wanted the disciples to have a ceremony where they would simply wash one another's feet. I don't think this was about the ceremony that Jesus was carrying out as he washed the disciples' feet. I think this was more about having a heart where you are willing to get down on your knees and wash feet. I think this was about your willingness to do extraordinary acts of service that show people this is what the love of God looks like. I think this was about God calling his disciples, and he did. He said, I'm doing this. I'm setting, you would do this for one another, that you would wash one another's feet. I'm setting this example for you that you would do this so that the world, when they see you in this extraordinary act of service, they see the love of God So wash one another's feet, serve one another in love. And there are just some moments in our lives that stand out as those remarkable God breaking in on us moments. And let me just close with this. I was in love with Laurie Langford, and I still am. But I was in love with Laurie Langford, and I was graduating with a master's in counseling from Georgia State University, and I invited Laurie Langford and another friend, Greg Arthur, to come and be a part of the experience. And it was in this great auditorium down at Georgia State University, and the plan was that I would graduate, we would get together, we would have lunch. But my question the whole time was, like, how am I going to know where you guys are seated? I mean, there's going to be, you know, I don't know how many people are seated, so we can meet up afterwards very easily. And I was just trying to facilitate details at that point. And Lori said, oh, you're going to know where we're seated. And I was like, what does that mean, you know? You're going to know where we're seated when you walk in that auditorium. And that's exactly right. When I walked in that auditorium, she and Greg Arthur were sitting up on the far right, up towards the top, and they had this massive banner, like nobody was sitting between them, because they had this massive banner that said, I love you, way to go. I was like, wow. I'll never forget that. When Jesus bent down on his knees and he took a basin of water and a towel, he was saying to our humanity, I love you. Way to go. Bow our head for a moment of prayer. Lord, we are called to serve one another. We are called to live out this life of grace, this life of one another's, that enable us to embody and flesh out your presence in our world. May we love one another. As we close this series, may we encourage one another. May we bear up one another's burdens, and may we serve one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.